May 18, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are studying from the Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Entering into his rest is the promise of God. The place of rest was the land of Canaan in the Bible, which is the land they inherited, the land of eternity. In our Christian walk, the promise of eternal life is the place of rest, and the verse says to let us fear lest any of you might not enter into the promise. That means that there is a possibility that some people might not enter into it. I don't want to sugarcoat the Bible. I want to talk about the promise, but I also need to talk about the possibility of not obtaining it. For example, the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 talks about the people who did not enter into the promise. And this section is a warning for the generations to come, as it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for an admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come." So what happened to the people in the Old Testament? "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the clouds, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." You have to read those passages in the light of the New Testament, so you should not say that the Exodus was nothing to do with you since you have never been to Egypt or you have nothing to do with the story of the wilderness. The passage here says that Old Testament people ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. Though they didn't use the word baptism in this passage, they did have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because what happened to them was the foreshadow of what was about to come. And this was the lesson for the later generations. And the lesson was that the most of the people died in the wilderness, despite of eating the bread and drinking the wine. The Bible did not say some or few. Everybody says the most people died in the wilderness. So that was the reality. And it will be so in the time to come too. I don't want to sugarcoat the message, but I would be the one who would be judged by God, so I have to tell the truth. And so I believe that most of the churches will be destroyed, and so will be people in the end time, and we are entering into that era. So there will be no being lifted up before the tribulation, although it sounds great, that is not what the Bible says. So we are preparing you for the survival of the special era. So what we pursue here at our church may not be for everyone, but we are here to strengthen your walk for the end time so that you can survive the tribulation and obtain the eternal life in the end. Continuing with the 1 Corinthians, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." This is what will happen to many Christians, and they will start lusting after evil things. This will be done in secret, but God knows. He knows it all, and those people will be destroyed along the way. Verse 7, "And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." This idolatry is not only worshipping Buddha and other gods, but it also means worshipping the vessels. So following the teaching of Benny Hinn or Pope will eventually lead you to destruction. The Pope rejected the word of God, for he has declared that there is no hell, so following him will only lead you to destruction. That I say this clearly. From verse 8 to 11. nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I need to repent on this one about complaining. But anyhow, you can say that we are born into the most difficult time in history, since many Christians nowadays don't even know what real faith looks like. But in a sense, each one has his own responsibility to work out his own Christianity, since we have the Bible, and the Bible remains the same since the time of the apostles. We have no one to blame, so we should strive to remain on the path of righteousness no matter what other people are doing. Now going back to the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Of course, hearing the Sunday message is important, and there are people who faithfully attend the church for 20 years or 40 years, but if their Christian walk solely depends on the Sunday messages, that would not profit them at all. Whatever they hear, if that is not connected to their faith, it has no meaning. So as the book of James says, we have to live the word of God. Also, the first John says, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. And when I read that for the first time, I was shocked, since it says that no one need to teach us. But I tried to trust the word and live that way. Well, it's not like you should stop listening to your boss at work, or you should refuse to be taught by your professor or teachers. But as for my walk with God, I started living that way. Back then, I was working and also going to a seminary school, and all the students were required to purchase this study guide, which was like 60 to 70,000 yen. And then since I was working, I could afford it, but I felt like if I bought this book, my walk with God would be hindered. So I refused to buy the book, and that's how I started receiving more revelations, just from reading the Bible. And at first I was worried that if I could keep up with the schoolwork, or since I don't have the study guide, but the result was that I started receiving more and more revelations and understandings of the word, which could not be found in the study guide. So what I'm trying to say is, to believe is one thing, but acting out on your faith is another thing. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This wrath of God shows up in various places, so we will look at what this is all about. Let's look up the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 22. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test, and now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. And the following is the details of what happened. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, and to all the congregation, and show them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. But the man who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they said spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Also, Numbers 14:11. Then the Lord said to Moses, How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. This is what it means to be disobedient to the Lord and not trusting the Lord. What Israeli spies said was very logical, describing that those people are like giants and they are like grasshoppers. But trusting what you see with your eyes could mean that you're not trusting the Lord. God wants us to trust Him even when it looks impossible with our eyes. Like smacking the head of a little kid and saying that you have won the battle does not require any faith at all, but God is illogical. In our life's battle is against with the angel of the darkness who is stronger and wiser than us. And even angel of the Lord, like Gabriel and Michael, they have been around for thousands of years since they appear in the Old Testament and they also appear in the end time, according to the book of Revelation. Well, that makes them at least a few thousand years or 5,000 years old. Of course, we cannot find the battle on our own, but we are helped by God through our faith in Him. I have another place that I want to look up. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1 to 4. It happened after that, the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came, told Jehoshaphat, saying, A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mataniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, in the midst of assembly. And he said, Listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. You see that this was the impossible battle, and it was illogical to engage in that battle. Of course, you don't want to go into any battle if you're not led by God. But if God says this is the battle you have to fight, even though it might look impossible to your eyes, you have to go in. And that is called faith. And if you're not obedient to the Lord's voice, you might see a negative consequence of that too. When I first received God's revelation about what we are to do, I was shocked. In the book of Jeremiah, there is a passage in which the Lord says to the prophet to warn all the people in the temple of God. And he showed me how I do it. That was the beginning of the internet era, and many churches started building their own website. But they only had a few pages with some pictures, and it was very simple, and they had no contents. It was like a book cover without the contents. But God showed me that I should write all the revelations and fill the contents like a book on the web page. So when God speaks to me, if I say no, that is impossible, that's the end of the story. But instead, if you respond with faith and look for a way to make it happen, things would come out of it. And that is called faith. And for our newsletters too, when we prayed, we felt like the Lord showed us something like a magazine. And I thought that it would be such hard and expensive work to publish a magazine, but eventually it became a newsletter. And our sisters from the church were able to hand out our newsletter to someone at JTJ Seminary School. So even if it seems impossible and unnatural, we act on it with faith. The same thing with a book publishing. I did not know anything about publishing, nor we had money to do it. We had many naysayers, but as we followed God's word, we were able to publish a book, which we even had pre-orders. God usually asks us to do things which we cannot do with our own might. So you should not decide with your intellect whether you can do the work or not. You probably think this is a smart move, but in the eyes of God, this is considered not trusting Him. So many of our works here, we started without knowing if we could even do it or how to do it, be it a newsletter or seminar or publishing. But we thought, even if we failed, at least we could tell God that we tried. But many of them turn out to go very smoothly or even benefit us spiritually. Going back to the Hebrew 4, chapter 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The verse 11 also says, to enter into his rest, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So God wants us to rest from our work, from our own work, and rest as God has rested on the seventh day. In this world, if you're hired for 5,000 yen for an hour, and if you just sit around and do nothing, people will yell at you. And even at home, if you're doing nothing, and your parents would say you should work or study, and they would say something. But the Bible tells us that we should be diligent to enter that rest. It also says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Especially hard-working people tend to busy themselves doing this and doing that. It is a good thing with human standard, but spiritually, that attitude might be hindering the personal spiritual growth. I myself used to think that doing all the works for the Lord was the right thing. But when I had an accident where I was almost drowned in the sea, I realized that it was not what I do that matters most, but trusting the Lord was the most important thing. In a sense, His work is finished, so it is more important for us to trust Him and rest, rather than running around and try to make things with our own might. There's another place in the Bible that says something similar. Let's look at Book of John, chapter 6, 28. Then they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Here the Jewish people were asking Jesus what they need to do the works of God. But they were also performance-oriented, and Jesus said to believe in Him who He sent. So the answer was not our performance, but rather for us to rest in faith. I tried to practice that as well. I mean, we have Sunday services and seminars, and I have to prepare the message. So when one preaching is finished, it is natural to start preparing for the next. But I also believe that if this is really what God wants, He will tell me what to speak. So I choose to trust that. I choose to trust Him. If I try to do everything with my intellect, I will overwhelm myself. So all of my messages are not born out of the place of So all of my messages are born out of the place of rest and trust in Him. He would usually give me something to talk about a few days before. So resting is not something that world will ask or teach, but it is necessary in the Christian walk and practicing this or that or this world. So resting is not something the world will ask or teach, but it is necessary in the Christian walk and the practice that it will make a great difference in our faith. So resting in faith and giving up our own performance to wait for His work. And that is something we need to remember, for it is important in this Christian walk.